Whole Hog Sports presents the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America, the premier Arkansas hoops podcast, brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. With Whole Hog Sports basketball analyst Scotty Bordelon, here's your host, Matt Jones.
Arkansas opened the new month with a 99-73 win over Georgia on Wednesday night. That's Arkansas's seventh consecutive win overall. Six of those wins have been in SEC play. They also stepped out of conference to beat West Virginia over the weekend. The Razorbacks now 17-5 overall, 6-3 midway through the SEC schedule, and they have really put themselves in good position for the NCAA tournament. The thing Arkansas is missing? Resume wins. We're going to get into that today with Bob Holt of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette and Scotty Bordelon of Whole Hog Sports. The Razorbacks look like a really good team. They look like a team that's just completely different from what we were seeing in end of December, early January. We've talked on the podcast before that one of the things that they've done is that they're playing really well defensively. They have become a lot more physical using a bigger starting lineup. And as was the case against Georgia the other night, Scotty, they're finding production, I think, from different players from game to game. It's not like the team 2 years ago where if Mason Jones didn't score 30, 35 points a game, they might not win. I think about the Georgia game. Stanley Amude scores 31 points, his best game of the year. Chris Likes comes off the bench, gives them a spark whenever they're down early in the first half with four steals, 9 points, I think six or seven assists in 19 minutes. They're getting a lot of contribution, and it feels like they're just figuring things out from game to game.
Yeah, they definitely are. And I remember I wrote about Trey Wade, I think it was last week, and kind of how he was emerging and kind of an essential role. And somebody on our message board was like, I'm not really seeing an essential role here with Trey Wade. And I'm like, so you're meaning to tell me that, you know, this Arkansas team didn't need some guys to fill some pretty important kind of complementary roles on this team to go around JD and Jalen, who, you know, throughout January were Arkansas's best players. And I think you saw Arkansas at times, they kind of took on a different feel or identity. It was definitely more fun to watch them when, you know, more guys got involved. And that was really what you saw at Georgia. Like, Georgia is not going to be ever mistaken this season for a good basketball team. But anytime you get, you know, a 30-point game from maybe like your number three scorer, I mean, that's really good. And then, you know, JD Notain, Jalen Williams, even though Jalen, he battled foul trouble, he played less than half the game and still almost finished with a double-double, which kind of tells you the plane of existence that he's on right now. And then JD flirted with a triple-double, and nobody really kind of bats an eye at it, but those two guys are the engine of this team. They make it go, but the other guys, the supporting cast, complementary pieces, can take this group to a different level. And when Stanley Amude is playing like South Dakota Stan, Arkansas is in good shape. When Chris Likes is playing at an all ACC level, like he did in the first half against Georgia, Arkansas is in even better shape. You're right, Matt. Like, they just, anytime you get, you know, good production from, you know, guys outside of your top two, you're going to look more, you know, tournament quality than maybe you did earlier in the season when you just had a couple guys going.
Yeah, I agree with Scotty. I mean, Trey Wade's brought a lot of defense to this team and some toughness. And I guess they don't have a toughness category or a hold your guy down category in the box score, but, you know, Eric Musselman's raved about Wade's defense. How he not only guards his guy, he plays good help defense too. And defense is really what's carried this team, you know, through this winning streak. Obviously, they scored 99 last night, and their defense wasn't very good in the first half. They clamped down in the second half and ended up winning by, you know, 26 or whatever, 99 minus 73 is. And, you know, they know who they're starting now. They're going to keep this lineup, I think it's safe to say, unless somebody gets hurt. And then Likes is playing, like Sky says, Likes is playing a lot better. He played pretty well early in the season, had some big games, was kind of their closer when they had the lead. They put him in there to get fouled, knock down free throws. And then, you know, there was a recent game where they didn't play him late in the game to protect the lead because he'd been struggling so much with turnovers. Well, you know, last night, I think he had one turnover and seven assists and 9 points. All the scoring was in the first half, but I think he had 3 assists in the second half. He had a couple big steals to help him. You know, people might forget, looking at that score, Georgia was up by 8 points and was at home, was playing pretty well, confident. And you're thinking, well, you know, is Arkansas going to end up like Alabama did, getting upset? And then Arkansas, you know, ended up blowing their doors off. But, you know, Kamani Johnson had a pretty nice game off the bench. He's clearly there. The first big Eric's going to put in there when, let's say, Jalen Williams gets in foul trouble or Trey Wade or somebody, or so somebody needs a break. So it looks like and Devo Davis has played pretty well off the bench. Earlier, he and Likes are both having some turnover issues. So it looks like they've got a set lineup now. They've got a good – here are our main three guys off the bench. They might have to play some others. But, you know, you got to remember, early in the year, I remember there was a game they played 11 guys in the first half, which you think for Eric Musselman, that's almost unheard of. So I think everybody knows their roles. They're accepting them. It's a lot easier to accept a role when your team's winning. And, you know, Eric's talks about how, you know, obviously when you're winning, everybody's in a good mood. And, you know, the film sessions are a little lighthearted, not that they're not working, they're a little more fun in practice. So I think this team has started to develop a really good chemistry.
I would agree with Bob that I think the guys on this team are a little bit more understanding now than they were a month ago of what their roles are and how they can, you know, best, you know, help this team succeed. And I think that's really important because you can look as far back as last night, Arkansas's starting lineup that had been killer in January didn't really get off to the best defensive start. Like, I think Georgia kind of picked on Trey Wade a little bit. And I looked at his plus minus early in the game, and I think he was somewhere in the minus 11 to minus 13 range. And so there's just going to be, like, flat out some nights that lineup, top to bottom, doesn't get it done. And maybe a guy or two's getting picked on. And you're going to have to need some of your guys on the bench, some of your reserves and your role guys to step in and pick up the slack. And Chris Likes stepping in last night was pretty big. And Devo is clearly not the same player this year that he was last year. But he's still able to give you, you know, pretty good minutes and spurts. And I think Kamani Johnson is just the absolute perfect forward for this Arkansas team to sub in when a guy like Jalen Williams, you know, goes down with early foul trouble. Like, he can just step in right away and almost match the physicality that Jalen brings. He's not going to match his production just because he's not as well-rounded in terms of his skill set, but he's certainly got the toughness and the physicality to step right in pretty seamlessly.
Just in case any of our listeners don't understand, plus minus takes into account how a team did with that player on the floor. So if you're minus 11, it means the team was outscored by 11 points in the minutes that you played. Scotty mentioned last week, and I really thought this was the case as I was watching the game on Wednesday night, is about the atmosphere at Georgia. It's a program that's really down right now. A lot of people think Tom Crean may be out of his job at the end of the season. Man, it was like playing in a funeral home, it felt like, for stretches during that game. Just no atmosphere, you know, half empty, maybe at best, arena there at Stegman Coliseum. Bob, you've been there several times to cover games. That's a hard place to play, and I have to believe that's a hard place to get energized and up to play a game if you're the opponent, because so many people talk about home court advantage in college basketball, but I think there's also some road court advantage in terms of a team going into an arena and kind of getting juiced up and ready to play based off of the crowd that's in there. I think it's got to be hard for a team to go in and play in a setting like they played Wednesday night in Athens.
Yeah, I haven't looked them all up, but I think Stegman Coliseum's got to be one of the oldest arenas in the SEC, if not the oldest. And I know they've updated some things and kind of brightened it up a little bit. It used to be really, really dark. And I don't know if they've added lights or lighter seats. I'm not sure what they did.
They've added that big LED board in the end of the arena.
Well, that helps. But, yeah, like you say, they're down. And yeah, I agree. I think a big crowd on the road, you know, can be exciting for the road team too. And, you know, what's the number one thing? If you're a road team, you want to quiet the crowd. Well, that crowd was already pretty quiet to begin with, you know, and really Arkansas, because of their players from Georgia, and, you know, Danielle, Eric's wife, is from Georgia. So they had some family there. I mean, Arkansas probably had, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Arkansas had a couple hundred fans, or I saw where JD Notay's high school coach, Looked like he brought his several of his players there, you know. So Arkansas had a decent contingent, so maybe that helped a little bit. But, yeah, I think, you know, you go on the road, you're playing in sort of a sterile environment, and Georgia's hot and jumps on you and goes up by eight. I mean, I think, you know, people might want to say, well, you beat Georgia, who cares? You know, the only news would be if you lost to them. But I think that was a good win for Arkansas to you know, fight off Georgia and then really dominate them in the second half, just really blow their doors off. And I agree. I think sometimes when you got to create your own energy on the road, that's not necessarily an easy thing. But, and you can tell Arkansas's bench, the bench players are, and of course they loved it that they could, you know, get in last night. I saw somebody post on Twitter, I'm not sure who the video is from, but you know, Chance Moore, who's a Georgia kid, doesn't get to play much. Eric called a timeout to make sure he got him in the game there at the very end, and he hit a three, and the bench just went nuts, like he just hit a game-winning shot, and that was fun to see, and I'm sure those guys are happy for Chance because he's practicing every day and not getting to play much. But I remember Keith Smart mentioned this, I guess, after the LSU game, that you know, you could see the players were excited for each other. I think that goes back to the chemistry we were talking about. You know, when you're winning, everybody wants to play and everybody wants to contribute and all that, but you can contribute in practice too. Practice can be important, playing on the scout team. But right now you can just tell those guys are having fun. And of course, when you're winning, that's always the most fun you can have.
Scotty, I think it's one thing to beat a bad team by 5, 6, 7 points on the road, but to go into their arena and beat them maybe the way that nobody else has beaten them this year, I think that really says something for the quality of basketball that Arkansas is playing.
Yeah, I think it just speaks a little bit to their togetherness and their connectedness of late. I mean, that's a place that, you know, I think Alabama is still a pretty good team. Like, you look at Alabama and you ask the ranked teams that Alabama's played this year, they'll tell you that Alabama's a pretty good team. But Alabama went to Georgia and pretty much threw up a clunker. And gave Georgia, I think, their only win in their last 11 games, like dating back to like December 22nd or something. So it's like going on the road in the SEC, no matter how bad the record is of the team that you're playing, like it's not a gimme. And so for Arkansas to kind of impose its will in a game like that, where, you know, for a half, they kind of played, I think Eric Musselman said, like an NBA style game where you just traded bucket for bucket and then bucket for bucket. And at a certain point, you know, Georgia was playing way above its head. And I was just kind of thinking at a certain point, like Georgia's already played its game in SEC play above its head. They did that against Alabama. So something's like the law of averages have to kind of come into effect here. And they did. And they only, I think they took 6 threes in the second half and they made 7 in the first, which I think that's a credit to Arkansas's attention to perimeter threats after halftime. And just kind of they shored up their defense. But I think it says a lot about Arkansas, regardless of how bad Georgia is, that, you know, there's two types of environments in on the road. Like there's two types of tough environments. One that's kind of lively, like an Auburn is this year. And then there's tough environments on the road, like Georgia and maybe an Ole Miss, Mississippi State to a degree, that, you know, those buildings can just as easily zap the energy from a visiting team as it can kind of infuse life in the home team. So credit to Arkansas for that, because I mean, Eric says all the time how hard it is to win on the road in this league, and you know, they've done it three games in a row now, so that's obviously nothing to scoff at.
Now, playing at Georgia was like playing in a funeral parlor. I think playing in West Virginia was like Mardi Gras. The atmosphere was really good for the Razorbacks last week. That was really the game, I think, over the week that people were interested to see how they would play. Most people thought they would beat Georgia. They were a 8-9 point favorite going down to Athens, which is a really big point spread for a road game. West Virginia, an interesting team. They're 13-8 now. The Arkansas loss was number 5 of 6 in a row for them. They left Fayetteville, went down to Waco, and lost to Baylor in a real close game on Tuesday night. You look at the net ranking, they're still right there at number 64. This has got the potential to be a good win for Arkansas down the road if West Virginia can turn things around. But for Arkansas, it was a good performance. Got off to a good start. That's not always the case in some of their games, although it seems like it's turning, you know, toward that during this winning streak. Scotty, what were your thoughts from the West Virginia game that Arkansas won 77-68?
Yeah, I thought Arkansas did a pretty good job of kind of weathering the time that JD Notte stayed off the floor in the first half with foul trouble. Like he picked up, you know, he starts the game off with a three, really big three, gets the crowd really juiced. And I'm just thinking, like, West Virginia is going to be in for a long day. And then he goes down and picks up a foul, I think maybe 5 or 10 seconds later. And then he picks up another cheap foul where he accidentally trips a guy. He just can't, sometimes you can't help those kinds of things, but it still hurts. And he has to sit like the last, you know, 15 plus minutes of the half, I believe. And Arkansas went +3 without him on the floor in the first half, which was huge. And then you get him back on the floor. And then Arkansas, I think they ended up winning or going up by 19 at a certain point in the second half. And, you know, that starting lineup just reared its head again. Like, I just feel like that group gets on the floor sometimes and opposing teams can really prepare for it. Coaches can, like, drill into their guys what they're going to see with it. But once they get on the floor, they don't really know how to defend it. Like, it's kind of an interesting dynamic to me, that group. But I just thought they were super physical. Like, you out-rebound a Bob Huggins team by 18. That's really, really impressive. Really big point differential in terms of points in the paint. They were tougher. Like, they just took – I think I wrote that Arkansas took the toughness to West Virginia, and that's just not something that happens to West Virginia a lot. And, you know, even though they've lost however many they have in a row, like, that's just kind of a product of the league they play in, man. Like, the Big 12 – even though they lost, what, 6 or 7 of 10 to the SEC in the challenge, like, Arkansas wouldn't want to go through a gauntlet where they have to play Baylor, Oklahoma, Texas Tech, Baylor again. Like, that's really tough. Like, the toughest or the lowest ranked team in terms of on KenPom out of that group that West Virginia lost to is Oklahoma, and Oklahoma blew the doors off Arkansas. So I think it was a good win for Arkansas, a good out-of-league win, I think. And there's still plenty of time for West Virginia to turn kind of the corner, I think, because they've got really good pieces. Tash Sherman's really good. They could still turn it around, and that could be a pretty decent win for Arkansas coming March.
That's a good segue into resume wins, Bob. The SEC went 7-3 in the challenge. Big wins by Kentucky at Kansas. Alabama beat Baylor. Alabama is such a weird team. I mean, like Scotty said, they lose to Georgia, but they've beaten three of the four teams that were in the Final Four last year. Do you think that one Saturday proves that the SEC is a better league than the Big 12? And the reason we want to get into this is because we want to talk about resume wins and what Arkansas's got coming up. They've got a lot of really good SEC teams left on the schedule.
Well, I mean, I think it's good to win those head-to-head matchups against another Power 5 league, and especially the Big 12. I mean, they're going to argue with the SEC and probably the Big Ten about who's got the best league. You know, usually a lot of times you'd say it's the ACC, but they're kind of top heavy this year, I think, although it's obviously a very good league too. But yeah, I think it's always nice to have bragging rights and something like that. But I don't think you can say, you know, one weekend, this league's better than that league. Just like, you know, I think bowl wins, you know, sometimes can be deceptive. One thing is they set these matchups before the season. I don't know if it'd be practical to do it, but I'd kind of like to see them maybe a couple weeks before they play, set them up. And obviously Kentucky KU is a great matchup. Arkansas-West Virginia is probably a pretty good matchup, even though West Virginia's struggling. That's still a quality program. Tennessee at Texas, you know, that was a cool matchup because of Rick Barnes, and Tennessee almost came back and won. But I think you have to look at who was playing, where were they playing the other team. They could play – they could have those same matchups, flip where they're playing them, and maybe the Big 12 wins. I mean, I don't know, but it's definitely a feather in a cap for the SEC, but I don't think you can say, well, they're better than the Big 12. One thing that's interesting about the Big 12 is, of course, they don't have 12 teams, but all their teams play. And the SEC, I guess you didn't have Georgia and South Carolina didn't play, and a couple of, I'm trying to remember who played, Vandy. I mean, so the SEC, some of their worst teams don't play. So I think that kind of helps the SEC too. But it was definitely a good weekend for the SEC.
We're going to get more into resume wins for the Razorbacks here in just a second. But first, I want to remind you that the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America is brought to you by Landers Toyota of Northwest Arkansas. Visit their showroom at 411 South Metro Parkway in Rogers or online at LandersToyotaNWA.com.
For all your automotive needs, shop Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers, where we guarantee you the best buying experience and best service after the sale in Arkansas. Landers Toyota NWA in Rogers.
FootballHawkSports.com has the largest, most experienced staff of reporters covering sports in Arkansas. Football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. You'll find it at WholeHogSports.com. The website includes up-to-minute news, daily commentaries, and award-winning photography from the staffs of Hogs Illustrated and the Democrat Gazette. For subscriptions, call 1-800-757-6277. That's 1-800-757-6277. Or visit us online today. WholeHogSports.com.
Want more coverage of your home team? Download the Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Check out the Fan Zone and get up-to-the-minute videos, podcasts, and features on football, basketball, baseball, recruiting, and more. Search for Whole Hog Sports on Apple TV, Roku, and Amazon Fire at home. And take it with you on the go by downloading it for your mobile device in your app store. The Whole Hog Sports Video On Demand app. Get it today.
Up next for Arkansas is Saturday night against Mississippi State. It's a 7:30 tip-off at Bud Walton Arena. The Razorbacks lost to Mississippi State 81-68 in the SEC opener for both teams on December the 29th. Bob, we'll talk about this here in a minute, but Eric Musselman's teams have been very good in quote, payback games when they get teams to play them for a second time after they've lost to them earlier in the year. Arkansas, as of the time we're recording this podcast, and it'll be similar when they take the court Saturday night, is number 37 in the NCAA's net rankings. Those are the rankings that the NCAA uses, you know, as kind of a roadmap whenever they're putting together the NCAA tournament. The Razorbacks are 1-3 in quad one games. They won at LSU, and they've got losses to Oklahoma and Tulsa, at Mississippi State, and at Texas A&M. And in case you're not familiar with quadrant one, a Q1 game is when they play a team that's number 1 through 30 at home. So Arkansas playing a team 1 through 30 at Bud Walton Arena. That hasn't happened yet. It's going to happen a lot probably here over the next few weeks. Of course, Auburn comes in Tuesday night. The Tigers are ranked number one. A Q1 game is also when you play a team 1 through 50 at a neutral site, like they did OU in Tulsa, or 1 through 75 on the road. Mississippi State is number 47, and Texas A&M is number 65. Those are Q1 road games for the Razorbacks. And before we get into what their non-conference schedule has looked like, you know, the next few weeks, Scotty, I think really are going to be real pivotal for Arkansas. It's kind of like moving day at the Masters. You know, they say Saturday is moving day. I think February is really moving month for teams when it comes to the NCAA tournament. So much focus is placed on March and, you know, the conference tournaments. And if you win the conference tournament, you get in. But there are only so many of those spots. You know, more often than not, you know, if you're a team from a Power Five conference, you're going to get into the NCAA tournament through an at-large seed. And for Arkansas, you know, unless they go on a run in Tampa next month and win the SEC tournament, it's going to be an at-large spot that they're going to have to get into the NCAA tournament. And in order to do that with the resume that they have right now, they've really got to do some work over the next 3 or 4 weeks with these opponents they play. Auburn, Alabama, Tennessee, at Florida, you go on down the list. And I think they've got 7 of their final 9 games are Q1 opportunities.
Yeah, you're right for sure. And, you know, you look at Arkansas' schedule and it's kind of hard to pinpoint, you know, what exactly their best win is at this point. Like if you look, you know, in terms of, you know, did you play a ranked team on the road and did you beat them? Well, the LSU game checks those boxes. But at the same time, I think the college basketball fan who follows the game pretty closely and even the committee too is going to understand that, you know, LSU didn't have its starting point guard in that game. They weren't full strength. Arkansas obviously wasn't full strength either. They didn't have their head coach and they didn't have Kamani Johnson. But, you know, that's a ranked team without its point guard. You know, it can be kind of difficult to say whether that's a truly a ranked team. West Virginia, like that's probably their second best win, I would say, as of right now. But still, that's like even that's a team that's lost like 5 or 6 in a row. And so Arkansas, like I was looking at Joe Lunardi's latest bracket projections. I think he put them out on February 1st and he had West Virginia, I believe, is his first team out or one of his last 4 teams in. And so even like the teams that you might consider Arkansas's best wins, they're right there on the bubble, which makes the run that Arkansas made in January so important that they kind of got their stuff together, for the lack of a better way to say it, so that they could go into this really kind of pivotal month in terms of their postseason aspirations. You know, there's lots of, you know, resume opportunities, like you said. Like, I think it started, you know, with Georgia. Like, I think the selection committee likes to look at teams and say, are they taking care of business on the road? Are they winning games that they're supposed to on the road? Are they maybe doing it with a little bit of flair? Are they doing a little bit of style? Are they putting their foot down? And the Ole Miss game and the Georgia game, I think, both qualify for that. And the LSU win, I think, still pretty impressive, even without Xavier Pinson. But, I mean, the big dogs in the SEC are waiting on Arkansas. And I think they're still a little bit – I think the jury still might be out on Arkansas in some people's estimations just because they haven't played. I think LSU is obviously the best team in the league that they've played so far. And so that means you still got Alabama on the road. You know, I think you got to play LSU too. You got Tennessee twice, Florida on the road, Auburn at home. And in Mississippi State's no team to look over. Like, they beat you to open SEC play. There's plenty of opportunities there. I think it's like, I mentioned it on the last podcast too. It's just so critical that they got their stuff together in January and they kind of figured out who they were and kind of developed something that they can hang their hat on.
Yeah, don't forget Kentucky comes to Bud Walton Arena too, Bob. That's where a lot of their really big matchups are. Mentioned Auburn, Mississippi State, Kentucky, Tennessee comes to Bud Walton Arena. You got to feel good about at least the prospects for them having a good back half of the SEC schedule based on the fact that they get some of these toughest games at home.
Yeah, I mean, it helps that they get Auburn and Kentucky, you know, arguably the two best teams in the SEC, certainly based on resume so far. They get both those at Bud Walton. They don't have to go to either of those places. Now that's going to hurt their strength of schedule some. And then they get Tennessee home and home. They've got to go to Florida, where they haven't won since 1995. You know, Florida's been struggling some without, you know, Castleton, their big man, their transfer from Michigan who's so good. But I'm guessing by the time Arkansas plays him at the end of the year, he'll be back and Florida will be playing better. That just got the way things go for Arkansas when they have to go to Gainesville. Mississippi State, like you said, that won't be an easy game. They're 14-7. They've got some good wins, including over Arkansas. Of course, JD Note didn't play in that game, so that'll probably be a big difference. And Arkansas will be at home. But like Scotty said, you can't overlook Mississippi State. I mean, Ben Howland's a great coach. You know, he took Pittsburgh to Sweet 16s, took UCLA to Final Fours. He's upgraded Mississippi State without a doubt. So that's a tough game. I mean, Arkansas can definitely not be looking ahead to Auburn. But I can just imagine if Arkansas wins Saturday night, I can just imagine what that atmosphere will be like for Auburn. I mean, it'll be insane. And it kind of reminds me back in, I guess it was 99, Arkansas was kind of a bubble team and Auburn was having a great year. They were number two that year. They came into Walton Arena and Arkansas beat them. And Kentucky was top 10, I think. They came in and Arkansas beat them. And those two games cemented their NCAA tournament resume. And I know they're not playing those teams back-to-back, but those are two huge wins. You know, you got to like their chances at home. I wouldn't say you'd pick Arkansas to win. I'm sure they'll be underdogs, probably slight underdogs in those games. But at home, you like Arkansas's chances against anybody at home. And they're playing really good on the road. That doesn't mean they're going to go win at Tennessee or Florida or Alabama. But you feel like, you know, that they have shown they can win on the road. So they've definitely got a tough road to hoe here. But I feel like there are definitely, you know, big wins they can get out of this tough part of their schedule.
And when you talk about Arkansas's resume, you know, you've got to go back to the non-conference schedule. We mentioned the West Virginia game. The thing that helped them so much last year, they weren't a bubble team. They were a team that was firmly in the NCAA tournament at the end of the year. But one of the things that helped them, I think, with their seeding when they went into the tournament was the fact that you had ORU in the tournament and you had North Texas and you had Abilene Christian. And those were teams that Arkansas had played in the non-conference. As of right now, I don't see teams like that, you know, the teams from the mid-major, low-major conferences who are just dominating their league. You look at Mercer, they're third in the Southern Conference right now. Gardner-Webb is third in its division in the Big South. Penn is third in the Ivy League. Hofstra is fourth in the Colonial Athletic Association. You look through some of these others, UCA, that's a really bad game in terms of strength of schedule. They're 4-14. They're number 330 out of 358 in the net rankings. UALR, 4-11. They're number 308. You look at Elon, 4-16. They're number 280. The games that I think are really interesting right now that could potentially help them down the road in terms of their non-conference games, of course, if any of these teams win their tournament. Doesn't really matter how they do in the regular season. It's all about how they do over a 3 or 4 day tournament event. That's how the mid-major teams are going to get into the NCAA tournament. But the games that I think are really interesting are K-State, 11-10 right now. They've still got 10 games left. They're probably not going to get into the NCAA tournament without winning the Big 12 tournament. But K-State has beaten Texas Tech. I believe they beat somebody else, a pretty good Big 12 team. They just beat Oklahoma State last night on basically a buzzer beating three. They've gotten a little bit better. And Cincinnati is one that's really interesting to me. They're 15-6. They're number 69 in the net rankings. You look at their quality wins. They beat Illinois. They are the only team from their conference right now that has beaten SMU. And they've got a game Sunday against Houston at Fifth Third Arena. That could be a really big game for them in terms of their NCAA tournament resume. I think when we all watched Cincinnati up in Kansas City, Scotty, we thought they were an NCAA tournament team. They certainly looked like one. And that could potentially be a game that could be Arkansas's best non-conference game whenever March rolls around.
Yeah, no doubt. I think when you think about Cincinnati, and it's probably because of Bob Huggins, but you think about Cincinnati and you think about West Virginia, the word that comes to mind with both of those teams is toughness. Like that's kind of the theme with both of those programs that's kind of carried, you know, over through the years. And I think you're right about Cincinnati. You know, they're 15-6, 5-3 in their own league, big game with Houston coming up. You know, their losses this year aren't awful. Like they would have probably liked to have not lost to Temple and Memphis on the road. Memphis has not had a banner year, as Penny Hardaway would be more than willing to tell anybody. But I think, you know, they've got really good guard play. I was really impressed with their guards when I was in Kansas City. David DeJulius is really good. Jeremiah Davenport was a real problem for Illinois. I remember when they beat when Cincinnati beat Illinois, Davenport had a big game, and then DeJulius the next night just about single-handedly beat Arkansas. You know, another team that I think you might keep an eye on is Northern Iowa. That's a team that's top 100 on KenPom. They're 12-9 overall, but they lost, you know, seven of their first 11 games. They're 8-3 in the Missouri Valley. And, you know, you never know how, you know, so the rest of the regular season is going to go. But, you know, if they take care of business, they can end up with a high seed in their conference tournament. And, you know, that obviously gives you a much clearer path to the conference tournament finals. And that could be, you know, an AQ team that Arkansas has got on its non-conference resume. Well, I thought when Arkansas beat Northern Iowa, you know, even early in the season, like you saw the talent that they had. Like they're a really tough team to guard. And when you're not super attached to their shooters, they can really, really make you pay. I think they hit 17 threes on Arkansas. That's a really talented team. So I think Kansas State, obviously, because Kansas State's even a team that had Kansas on the ropes, but what, 17, 18 points the other night, just let one slip away. That would have been another big win for them. But Kansas State, Cincinnati, Northern Iowa, obviously, I think those are teams to keep an eye on. And also, you know, obviously West Virginia to see if they can kind of get the ship righted.
I remember when you know, that bracket and Kansas City was put together, we all thought Arkansas would be playing Illinois. But Cincinnati beat him by like 20. It was really a shock to see, not that Cincinnati won, but to see him just destroy Illinois. But, you know, Kofi Cochran, their big kid, their star, had to miss some games early because I guess he jumped the gun on NIL a little bit. But now Illinois is playing really well. They just knocked off Wisconsin, a top 15 team, and Illinois ranked. So, but, you know, it's not Arkansas's fault that Illinois couldn't beat Cincinnati. So they didn't get to play Illinois, and that would have been a nice resume win. But, yeah, I agree with Scotty. I think Northern Illinois, you know, they had some of their players that had missed the year before, and I think it took them a while to kind of get their feet back under them. But I think that's a team I definitely see them winning the Missouri Valley regular season and tournament titles. We'll see what happens. But yeah, it would have been interesting to see Arkansas play Illinois early, and you know that would have been a really good win if they could have gotten it. But we'll never know how that would have turned out.
Also, you can look at Penn too; they're 5-2 in the Ivy League. Like that's another team that's you know got a pretty good chance to make some noise. Maybe the rest of the regular season, get into their conference tournament and win it. That's just another AQ game. You know they've got a couple really good scorers, Jordan Dingle, and I can't remember the name of the kid that torched Arkansas when Dingle was out, but That's another pretty good team. And, you know, a lot of times when you're trying to put together a non-conference schedule, you look at like the potential of these teams. And sometimes these teams just don't do what, you know, they just don't pan out the way that you expect them to. And that's, I don't know that you can particularly blame Arkansas for that. Sometimes teams just don't, you know, handle their own business like you'd like them to.
Northern Iowa is always a team that when the Missouri Valley Tournament gets together in St. Louis, you feel like they're one of the favorites to win that, especially now that Wichita State's left that conference. I mentioned a few minutes ago that Arkansas was really good in payback games. Bob, I think you said they're 6-1 in games where they get a chance at revenge, a team that had beaten them earlier in the year. For instance, they beat LSU late last year after losing to them real bad in Baton Rouge, or they went to Columbia and beat Missouri after the Tigers had come in here and won at Bud Walton Arena. They get that chance Saturday night with Mississippi State. They did not particularly look good in Starkville, but the thing to remember about that game is they didn't have JD Notae. I think it's going to be a much different matchup when the Bulldogs come to Fayetteville.
The one team to sweep them was Mississippi State 2 years ago, but the second game they didn't have Isaiah Joe. He was out, still recovering from his knee surgery. And you remember they lost on like, I'm not even sure it was a last second tip. I think it was like a last 100th second of a tip by the big kid who's now at K-State of all places. I think, do I got that right, Scotty?
Yeah, I think Abdullah do. I think he's at Cincy now.
Of Cincy, okay. I just remember they played him in Kansas City. Anyway, so that's the only team to do it. So Mississippi State's going to try to do it again. But, yeah, one thing is six of those wins have been back in Walton Arena. Last year, Missouri came in and beat them in Fayetteville, and then they went to Columbia and won. So that's a little weird. But, yeah, Eric's obviously – I think they do a real good initial scouting report. I think, you know, they do these NBA scouting reports extremely detailed. And then when you play a team a second time, you've already got a good handle on them. But, obviously, you know, teams change. We know Arkansas is a far different team than they were – on December 29th. I mean, first of all, Notae didn't play, like you said. And then also, you know, they've changed their lineup, and, you know, things are different from Mississippi State too, I'm sure. You like to think teams improve over a month's time or 5 weeks time or whatever it's been. But yeah, Eric's been very good at these quote payback games. And I think a lot of it's playing at home, like they are going to be Saturday night. But also I think they just really scout teams well. And then the second time around, they know them even better.
And then after Mississippi State, Auburn comes to town. It's been a while since I can remember a game that's been as anticipated as this one. I think Auburn has won 19 or 20 games in a row. Of course, Arkansas has won 7 in a row. Those are the two longest winning streaks in the SEC. The Tigers ranked number one in the country. Arkansas has never beaten a number one ranked team in Fayetteville. They've only beaten an AP number one team one time, and that was against North Carolina at the Pine Bluff Convention Center when Charles Ballantyne hit the shot in 1984. Do they have a chance to beat Auburn, Bob, Scotty? I mean, what do you think Arkansas's chances are going into this game? Because this really, you know, when you go back and think about what we were talking about earlier, resume wins and everything, this is really the game that has a chance to put Arkansas on the map if they can beat Auburn on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I think Arkansas's got a solid chance to beat them. My guess is they'll be a slight underdog, 3-4 points, but you know, I think at home with that crowd, I mean, that crowd is going to be going nuts. And, you know, and I think, you know, Auburn's got a lot of talent. I mean, Jabari Smith's really good. Of course, you know, they have Alan Flanagan's healthy now. He's an Arkansas kid. You know, they've got, you know, the big transfer from North Carolina. I mean, Auburn's got a lot of talent. And Bruce Pearl's a really good coach, you know, and they just signed him up to a big contract extension for a lot of money. But I think the way Arkansas is playing and being at home, I mean, I think Walton Arena, I mean, that's worth a few points, you know. And so I think Arkansas will have a good chance to beat them. I'm not going to – I mean, I don't predict games as a beat writer. I don't like to do that. But I think Arkansas will have, you know, a decent chance to win that game. With Arkansas being at home, I see it as kind of a toss-up game. I say I think Auburn will be a slight favorite, but I see it as a toss-up game in Fayetteville. It'll obviously be a different deal in Auburn. And if they were playing – like if they played in the SEC tournament on a true neutral floor. But I like Arkansas's chances against anybody in Walton Arena right now.
I think Arkansas should petition the SEC to see if they could get the Auburn game moved to Saturday, and they could swap the Alabama game that's actually next Saturday to Tuesday. And I just think it's like it's kind of a small crime that this game's not on a weekend. It's obviously I think it's one of the biggest games that Arkansas's played at home under Eric. I mean, the only other one that I could really think of was would be actually two games, I guess, would be the Kentucky game his first year. That was a game that, you know, Arkansas, I think, had a chance to kind of announce its arrival on the college basketball scene with under Eric. And then the Alabama game last year, you know, Arkansas, I believe, was ranked in that game, and Alabama was top 10. And Arkansas kind of put its foot down and really made some noise. But that was, I mean, that was against, that was in a, you know, COVID capped crowd in Bud Walton. And, you know, we were kind of robbed of a, you know, kind of maybe a once a year type atmosphere. The Auburn, when Auburn comes to town, like it's, if Arkansas takes care of business against Mississippi State, like that crowd on Tuesday against Auburn is going to be like probably unlike anything I've ever seen. That would put Arkansas at what, eight straight wins, and you bring in the number one team in the town. Like it's, Auburn's going to be walking into a hornet's nest. And I think right now Auburn's the best team in college basketball, hands down to me. Like you can look across the board at all the pieces they got. You take away their starting point guard, Wendell Green. Well, they got another really good one, Zepp Jasper, and they might have two top 10 picks in their front court, and one of them might be the number one overall pick. And then having even mentioned Katie Johnson, who's kind of like the heart and soul of their team, and Bob mentioned Alan Flanagan too. They're just so talented. But I think Bud Walton gives Arkansas a chance anytime that they're in there. And he's, and Bob's right too, that, you know, Bud Walton will give Arkansas a few points, and they'll obviously they'll have a shot. I mean, it might take them, you know, maybe having their best game on both ends of the floor in conference play to do it, but it's certainly doable.
A little trivia for you. Arkansas's played 22 top 10 AP teams at Bud Walton Arena. How many wins do you think they have?
He said out of 22, I'm going to say they have 15.
Yeah, I'll go with 11.
Split the difference, 13. 13-9 all time against top 10 at Bud Walton Arena, 19-14 all time in Fayetteville.
So Scotty was close without going over, so I guess he wins the new car or whatever.
Hopefully a snowmobile in these conditions today.
I remember when I was in college, I think Florida came to Arkansas when they were ranked number two.
Yep.
And it, Super Tuesday, just like the Auburn games got the potential to be. I mean, that could primetime ESPN, national TV, nobody else. You're not – I mean, the Hog logo is going to be out there. And – that's a shot to announce that you've like really arrived and you've you know turned your season around. That's just, I keep going back to the two best atmospheres that I've been in Bud Walton, I think, are the Florida game when Arkansas beat them when they were number two. He beat them like a drum too, if I remember right. I think that was maybe 2013. And then the Kentucky game in Eric's first season. I think this Auburn game, if Arkansas wins this weekend, it might top both of those. I mean, I think it could be a pretty incredible, special atmosphere.
I think this just goes to show you how good of an atmosphere and how good of a home court advantage Arkansas has at Bud Walton. Of that 13-9 record against top 10 teams at Bud Walton, 11 of those wins came when Arkansas was unranked, like could be the case when Auburn comes next week. The Razorbacks were eighth receiving votes in this week's AP poll. So basically they were 33rd. They had the 33rd most points in the AP poll. They're probably going to move up. Bob, you're an AP voter. Do you get the sense that they might get into the top 25 if they beat Mississippi State on Saturday?
Yeah, they'll have a shot. A lot of that depends on who else, you know, who loses. Because I know as a voter, you kind of assess. I mean, sometimes you move a team up and take a team out, even if that team, you take a team out that won a couple games, you might feel like, well, this other team's just playing better, has bigger wins, you know, better wins. But a lot of it is, you feel like if Arkansas got in, they'd be somewhere in that 20 to 25 range. So who near the bottom of the poll loses could impact Arkansas too, or if some of those teams lose.
I need to correct myself on that stat, by the way. Arkansas 13-8 all time in Bud Walton Arena against top 10 teams, 19-13 all time against top 10 teams in Fayetteville. They have not played a number one team at home since 1991. You probably remember that game really well. UNLV at Barnhill Arena. Only one other time have they played a number one team in Fayetteville, and that was the 1984 Phi Slamma Jamma Houston team. I'm sorry, in 1983. We thank you for joining us on the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast by searching on Apple, Spotify, or most other podcast stores. You can find our station by searching Whole Hog Radio, three words, WHOLEHOGRADIO, Whole Hog Radio. Hope you'll subscribe, give us a review. It'll help others find our podcast. Beginning next week, we're going to bring back the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast, and we're excited to announce that Bubba Carpenter, the color analyst for the Razorback Sports Network, is going to co-host the Whole Hog Baseball Podcast with me this year. Can't wait to bring that to you. Again, Arkansas plays Mississippi State Saturday night at Bud Walton Arena, 7:30 tip-off on the SEC Network. Go to our website, wholehogsports.com. Before, during, after the game, plenty of coverage as Razorback basketball is in full gear. For Bob Holt and Scotty Bordelon, I'm Matt Jones. We appreciate you joining us, and we'll see you next week on the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America.
The proceeding has been a production of wholehogsports.com. Look for our latest podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcast store. And visit us anytime at wholehogsports.com for the latest news and commentary.